There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
So first of all, I want to start today's episode by naming the traitor to the human race.
Wait, what?
It's within the three of us right now, in the triangle of the three of us.
What?
Sitting right now. And a lot of you guys would look at me.
Is this a Judas moment?
This is. The person who kisses the other on the cheek before a golden coin.
Yuck.
For a piece of, so it was 10 pieces of silver.
It was for a promise of immortality. That's what this person did it for.
Okay.
And that's the only reason why they allowed COVID-19 into their system. Because yes, I did. I did allow COVID-19 in my
system.
You
allowed it.
I did allow it, but it was just to see how strong it was.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it was just to see how the graphite would work throughout my system and how
what
eventually...
What does graphite have to do with
it? I knew
the
that
cobalt.
The cobalt.
Wait, what?
I knew that I eat enough flax that I would shit it out naturally. But I know Marcus has problems with his butthole. And that's why, thanks to the research that I have done this week, because Marcus allowed me to do about a fourth of the research, I'm doing total research, for me to present here on the episode today, due to Marcus's weakness, that we now know that this is the problem. He is now mostly cyborg.
Wait,
thanks to my research, Marcus, I know now for a fact is mostly cyborg. I am completely human. From your smell, you are mostly human. Marcus, I'm sorry you have went to the other side.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with cyborg Marcus Parks, who is full of COVID, and Henry Zebrowski. Yeah. So somehow our friend got a little bit ill over these past couple of days. And Henry, you've weaponized that.
I have.
You've decided to not take it. You've decided not to say, oh, do you need anything? Would you like some hot soup?
No.
No, instead you've decided to demonize your friend.
You've gotten the offensive. You've attacked me while I'm at my weakest.
When you're the most vulnerable, this is when it's time to come for you. Because he's on a shell.
I'm just happy just in time for Alex Jones's bankruptcy. You've become him now.
I'm sliding into the position. But we know for a fact that all of this is built by the Criminal Intelligence Agency with the Military Industrial Technological offense, I believe, is the term that she uses. And this idea that we are a part of an ionized environment that no human can escape. But today's episode.
I'm a little bit concerned that this is going to be somebody's first time listening, and this is going to be their favorite moment of the show.
Like, finally. Finally.
Transhumanism.
Well, today's,
that's what we're discussing today.
Yes.
And it's a big topic. It seems like a large one.
It is very large. And so today we were going to do an even deeper dive into transhumanism. But I would say that this is a COVID thing. This is a relaxed fit beginning breach into transhumanism part one, because the topic which you discover, which is fun because we had our big we don't like to show you how the sausage gets made here.
Absolutely.
We want you to just be experience the magic
just
from
the
us at all
snap
times.
Of the beef.
Yes, so we were planning to jump into a historical series, but Marcus of course allowed the technocracy to take over his
you're
body.
You're blaming him for he didn't do anything wrong, and
so we are
technically quite ill.
We have begun research.
Kind of a stressful couple of days for us.
Yeah, really put a lot of effort into getting this shit done and showing up for this.
But
us.
Oh, you want a fucking award from your friends? You want a friendship award? The millennials.
A small amount of empathy would be nice, but
I did say privately on the phone, I was very nice. But this is chapter one of transhumanism, because again, what have we discovered? This was a topic we were beginning to research, and we got a lot of this stuff for the first chapter, which involves a lot of monkey cum.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you'd be really surprised how big the topic gets and how wide branching it goes.
But it does start with monkey semen.
It starts with monkey cum,
Let's get into
ape
this.
Ape cum.
If we're
going to be scientifically correct here, it's
and we
ape
always,
cum.
Of course, are scientifically correct.
That data
we pride ourselves on that.
That data was downloaded into Marcus by the Criminal Intelligence Agency.
Interesting.
Well, to put it as simply as possible, transhumanism is the idea that humans can be in control of their own evolution.
Yes!
Woo! That we have the power to take ourselves to the next level Woo! Of existence in both the mental and physical realms.
I'm getting spider legs, dude!
That sounds awesome. I'm a little bit upset. Let's just say it holds true. We started in the water, and then we flap, 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 out there. And then, of course, if you're in Texas and you're a dolphin, you'll get ridden to death mm-hmm. because they don't know what to do with any kind of sea creatures.
No.
Why didn't we keep the gills? Because I would love to be able to swim.
Marcus?
And I would love to be able to not need the snorkel.
Marcus?
I wish we would have kept
the gills.
He's
never snorkeled in his life.
Yeah, no, you never have. No, lungs are more adaptable to land. Gills are more adaptable to water.
Why do we keep both?
You can't have both. Nobody has both.
This is all part of the technocrizing of this podcast.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure there's like three animals that have both, and we'll get a bunch of emails like, actually, the fucking platybump-a-bump has a fucking gills and lungs.
Don't mess with the platybump-a-bump.
I'm open to corrections. We have been too defensive on side stories. Side stories, LPOTL@gmail.com. What is the platybump-bump, and why can you not fuck it?
It has one testicle and a large vagina.
Well, there are, in essence, two approaches to transhumanism. One is technological, in which we use computers, nanotechnology, or robotics to take us to the next level of evolution.
Yes, because maybe there is an overarching belief, which I do agree, that we need to somehow embrace technology with our own biology. We have to come together if we ever plan to travel the stars.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The other, which we'll mostly be focusing on today, is biological. In which we combine our DNA with that of another animal to make us something more than human.
More human.
Whoa.
Than human.
Whoa.
More human. Than I love you, Rob. Man. I love you, Rob.
It's fucking sweet, dude.
I just realized I should have taken a note out of Henry's book, but instead of telling people to smoke a bunch of weed and roll up a hog's leg, this is a whiskey episode.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to want to pour a little bit of whiskey. You're going to want to look at your kid, but look through him.
Technically, you're a robot I made.
Yes. I definitely think you want to pour yourself a nice Macallan 12 on this one.
Now, for some reason, certain biologists in the early 20th century became obsessed with the idea that the next level of human existence could be achieved by joining our DNA with an animal which shares a common ancestor with humans.
Because those guys were horny and metal.
I guess. Yeah.
The animal was the chimpanzee.
Oh, for certain.
No, if these scientists wouldn't they believe in evolution, I thought we already did all
this.
They
do. There is a lot of conjecture about where these ideas came from. And one was a philosopher by the name of Nikolai Fyodorov, who was a futurist. And he theorized this concept, this idea of, and he came from what time period was this? It was the 1890s.
Okay.
And he was really interested in this idea of the perfection of the human race and society using things like he wanted immortality, revival of the dead, space and ocean colonization.
Oh, that's going to end well.
Oh, it is. Because his idea, too, one of his most extreme ideas is that immortality cannot be achieved until not only is every person on the planet able to live forever, but every person who has ever been dead has also been revived.
So that's horrifying.
Yes.
We're not doing great with people that are alive, let alone if we all of a sudden have to have the undead. And then, of course, the undead lobby is going to, they're going to bond. I don't even know what their issues are.
But he started this idea that you can use technology, that we will use technology to join together. We will join with technology and we will become our own gods in essence. Is that we've been given this consciousness, this inventor's mind by the creative agency of the universe, and that now we are the creative agency of the universe, and our goal is for us to change ourselves and to change the world. And there's things that are locked into that, which is, again, maybe the total and absolute control of our living environment so that we eventually merge with the robots, become robotic in essence, and then can travel infinitely across the stars.
I hate to break it to this guy, Gogurt. That's what we've done. We have Gogurt.
We can't even perfect the dick sucking machine. You know what I mean? Like, we can't even.
I would argue
it.
With that. I think we have perfected the dick
sucking
machine.
Well, yes, because not your fuck thermos, which is the most disgusting thing of all time, the fleshlight.
And it's using your hands, it's using your emotions. You can't have the machine that can possibly know how to suck it in a way that you could tell by looking in your eyeballs.
I know, I've never used the dick sucking machine, but the ads look pretty promising.
Wow.
Oh
wow.
Goodness.
See?
Wow.
See what happens?
All right.
Yeah. People say I'm the one who's going to give up the human race. Marcus is already there.
Now, as the story goes, the most infamous example of combining humans and apes came out of an old story from Soviet Russia. As was reported in a paper called The Scotsman in 2005, a Soviet scientist was allegedly ordered by Joseph Stalin to combine humans with apes.
With apes!
Whoa!
Give me my man apes!
Wow.
Allegedly, Stalin said, quote,
I want a new invincible human being, insensitive to pain, resistant and indifferent about the quality of food that they eat.
Man, I don't know. That seems bad, man, because he's just talking about how I feel like we should, if a human bonds with the ape, I don't think that we should feed them bad food.
Well,
I think we should only have some of the best food around.
We'll get into this a little bit because I actually agree. And he is actually, I think, incorrect in this idea that chimps would actually eat bad food because they are very similar to us.
Absolutely.
And they get mad. They want higher quality shit. Except
yes,
you can teach them to get used to a certain level, which is actually very sad.
Well, that's what we're getting used to as well. I mean, obviously, Taco Bell has brought back the Mexican pizza. But let's not be, hypocritical here when it comes to the lower quality of food within our fast food chains.
Chimpanzees should also be allowed to have liquid diarrhea.
They should.
But the reason why we started with biology is because that seemed at the time period the science we had the most control over. Like this idea that we were really heavily invested in biology, especially from the ideas of Darwin coming all the way up. And so there was a lot of this idea that like this is the first like science we can wrap our hands around. The idea of going to space was too far off. And the idea of all these other far-flung ideas, the futurist ideas for transhumanism, was really far off. So it's like, first of all, it starts with this section of it being like, well, what if we fuck with what we have here? And the idea that Stalin wanted super soldier man apes, it might have been a fun meeting that he had, but it also does seem to be a little bit of American propaganda as well.
I'm starting to think we need more women in the sciences. I just feel like there was not a woman in the room when Stalin was like, let's have men fuck a bunch of apes. Make mapes. I just feel like someone could have been like, we don't need to.
It just also sounds like one of those meetings that's like, it's at the very end, and he's like, anybody has anything else? And then the one guy who didn't talk is like, what if we combine man and ape to make super soldier? And then he's just like, that's fucking great, dude.
That's
great. Can we do that fucking shit?
And Ben, by the way, the preferred nomenclature is Human Z.
Human Z.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Human Z.
Well, in 1926, the Politburo in Moscow allegedly passed the request for human Zs to the Soviet Academy of Science with an order to build a living war machine, i.e., a man combined with a chimpanzee.
It also sort of seems as the.
What about a giraffe?
Well, there's a lot of other ideas that maybe there's another, again, I think a fake idea that they thought that they could engineer the perfect proletariat as well. Slowly but surely seeding this man ape, easily more controllable, happier in any given environment.
I just don't think that's
going to
be true.
I also don't think it's going to be true. I think that you'll just give a chimpanzee more free will.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this is not the worst idea in a physical sense, because chimps are, as we all know, extraordinarily strong animals capable of ripping the hands and faces off people they don't like, as we all remember from the chimpy face-ripping stories of yore.
And
you remember Travis the chimp? No one forgets about Travis the chimp.
Don't forget it. I don't forget that
too
ever.
Too much red wine.
Absolutely, that was the problem. He became a real Kathy.
It was.
You also have to be careful with these chimpanzees. Just fucking, they do whatever they want.
Yeah, especially if you get them hammered.
Additionally, Russia had lost quite a few men during both World War I and the revolution that came around the same time. So there was intense pressure to find a new labor force and a new military force, specifically one that wouldn't complain. But I also think that's a bad read because chimpanzees complain constantly.
They throw their literal shit when they are mad.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't have a lot of experience, but you think about Bubbles. Remember Bubbles?
Bubbles, well, honestly, Bubbles was complicit.
Well, of course he's complicit. A lot of upkeep, a lot of secrets.
He knew sign language.
Absolutely.
Bubbles could have said something about those kids.
Absolutely, he could have.
This, of course, was coming at the same time that Russia was embarking on its first five-year plan to fast-track industrialization, which, as we all know, resulted in famine that killed millions. And of course, as Henry also said, oh, this sounds a lot like American propaganda, even if part of it is true.
I mean, Stalin did kill millions of people. There was a massive starve off, and it was very bad over there. But again, at the same, it's more about their goals.
Where, a starve off.
Yeah.
That's what you're calling starvation now?
That's what it is. It's a starve off.
That is a fun reality show way to talk about famine.
Yes, very much so. But Stalin, you know what I want to say? It seems to be Stalinist communism. Maybe I'm wrong. It seems a lot about broad strokes and not a lot about like the little details that are the millions of humans that are involved in the gears of the system. Right. Maybe I'm incorrect.
Mm-hmm. But at any rate, according to the story, the job of creating a so-called Human Z was given to a highly regarded scientist named Ilya Ivanov, who had established his reputation under the Tsar back in 1901 when he founded the first Center for the Artificial Insemination of Racehorses, which is still big money business, as we all know. How many animal cum stories do we talk about on Roundtable?
Oh, 20? My goodness. 25?
25.
After the beers were flowing, we couldn't stop talking about semen.
And there's also a lot of money in semen. And there's
there
a lot
huge
of interest.
Amounts of money. And specifically pig semen.
Oh, we know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's very, and Marcus comes from pig royalty.
I know.
You understand how much pig cum goes for.
No, it's not pig royalty. This is another one of the Zabrowski lies.
He's a cattleman. He's a cattleman.
Pig with the little sticks. He slapped the pig with the little sticks.
What are you talking about?
My nephew Callan, yes, he did slap his pig, Mr. Jenkins, with the little sticks.
And
but
he
that's
made it
what
go
you do when you're a kid. Yeah, you made it go on the thing. That doesn't make him pig
royalty.
That makes him a fucking kid that grew up in rural Texas.
You need to watch Pig Royalty, Kissel.
No, I know. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
Marcus
he's right
Marks.
Here. He's right here. Back to the story, Ilya Ivanov, he is what I would consider to be more so. He's like a modern Dr. Frankenstein in a way. This is where, with last podcast, we talked about the human element. I think there's the human element here is that a lot of this man-ape research was done by simply a very curious scientist who figured out a way to get it subsidized by his government.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ilya Ivanov is obsessed with this concept of cross-fucking. Making animals cross-fuck and do all these things. We'll get into it.
We'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Well, in 1926, Ilya Ivanov was supposedly sent to West Africa with $200,000 to conduct his first experiments in impregnating female chimpanzees with human semen. At the same time, a center was set up in the country of Georgia to raise these humanzees when the experiment paid off. There was a whole infrastructure working. But when impregnating chimps with human sperm didn't work, Ivanov returned to Georgia to try it the other way, impregnating human women with chimpanzee semen.
See, I was actually going to give them a little
allegedly.
Bit of credit. I was going to give them a little bit of credit for, because it's such a stupid idea.
No,
it's
man.
It's definitely a male
you
idea.
You put a yam on her pussy.
No, that is not.
That's how you get those chimps
I don't
in there,
even
man.
Know if, I don't think chimpanzees there, like yams.
You put a little hammer and sickle on there, man. No, give them a little hat, those Russian hat, get them right in there, man.
But now, of course, I'm very disappointed because I do think it's like, okay, this is an idea. Let's go fuck, you know, but now it's very bad.
It is.
I mean, it's a turkey baster. They're not actually having men have sex with chimpanzees or chimpanzees have sex with women. It's invasive. Yes.
Oh,
it was thrown out there.
Okay.
It definitely at some point in a meeting was like, can we get them to actually fuck?
Right.
Someone like one's like, I guess if we just shave one of them, he could look like my husband.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I said the big problem of this whole thing was finding volunteers during this section.
I would imagine.
Yeah. But we'll also get to that.
Okay.
It's also something to get to. Well, Ivanov, when he couldn't impregnate human women with chimpanzee sperm, that was another failure for him.
What a Friday, huh? Just like you go home and you're bad like, God Friday. Damn it, honey, I couldn't.
And then all the monkeys in Georgia died.
Okay.
So they just all just fucking, they all died.
They didn't have fun.
Because they were
no. Was it suicide or?
Well, I know now about, like, I was watching this documentary about Ringling Brothers and the idea of how they used to have to bring exotic animals across the world to get to wherever the circus was. Is that, let's say they needed five lions.
Right.
They'd package up 30 lions to see which ones would make the trip, because a lot of them just died on the trip.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
So these monkeys, they would go and get as many apes. Yeah, you know, whatever, man. I'm not dealing with that.
I don't
I'm not.
No.
That I will
that
not
one,
handle.
I'll be a stickler on that one. Yeah, I'll be a Well Actually guy on that one.
You fucking cyborg. This cyborg talking to me? It's like Siri over there with his little page boy haircut on. And then
again, no reason to demonize our friend who's a little bit under the weather. Right before we started, Henry just said he was going to attack Marcus the entire episode.
I'm sorry.
And you are living
because
up to
I
that.
Would not be, because I would not be able to defend myself properly.
Oh, that's always shoot for the king whenever he's sad and alone. But he packaged up like 100 apes.
Okay.
To go to
Russia. It was actually 700.
Yeah. Oh my
God. And they got something like 20 of them. Like,
jeez,
they're not getting,
that's horrible.
It's a very bad group.
Yeah. Well, at the end of his rope and with all the Georgian monkeys dead, Ivanov supposedly contacted a Cuban heiress to lend him some of her monkeys so he could make a last-ditch effort.
How horny are these monkeys?
Well, what is going on now? I didn't realize that this was so common.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's just, it's a woman in Cuba with a bunch of apes, you know? And so he's like, hey, Soviet Russia, Cuba, we're friendly here. We're friends.
Give me some
of the apes. But when the Americans were made aware of the plan and the New York Times reported on the story, the Cuban heiress dropped out. Didn't want the bad publicity.
I've had enough of this.
Couldn't handle the heat.
My apes.
As what we learned from the Ellen Moore BBC masterclass that we've been taking, Marcus and I, is that back in the day, the worst curse that could happen to you would you be become the subject of a bard's tale.
Yeah.
Because satire lives forever.
Wow, indeed, a powerful message.
Powerful. Well, so the whole thing failed.
Huh.
And for this expensive blunder.
Didn't see that coming.
Those apes did.
Yeah. Oh, hello.
For this expensive blunder, Ivanov was sentenced to 5 years in jail, which was commuted to 5 years exile in Kazakhstan.
Oh, Borat.
And there he reportedly died a classic Soviet death, falling sick while standing on a freezing railway platform and dying of a subsequent stroke.
Yay!
I didn't know. That's the classic Soviet death. Huh?
It's on the fucking death certificate. Dying like a fucking dog. Done. Now, nobody knows where the Scotsman got the quote from Stalin directing his people to create humanity, soldiers and workers, because nobody has been able to find a shred of evidence that Stalin ever said such a thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
But even if Stalin wasn't specifically looking for human chimp soldiers, everything else in the story is true.
Yeah, okay. Buddy. Yeah, cool. I love humans, man.
Nice.
There is an idea.
Yep.
We've done it.
We've thought about it.
And in the end, this story is really about one man's obsession to fill human women with chimp cum.
I am a simple man. I have but one goal in life.
It's not that simple, though.
Oh, no, you'll be surprised, because it is a romantic meetup, the cum in the egg. All it takes is, yes, a bit of struggle to get cum. You pin chimp down, you get his crackle, and you give his crackle a 4, 5, 6, 9 tugs, right? Very difficult, because he's thrashing and biting.
Right, yeah.
And then the woman, she's always kicking and saying, no, my baby will not be mutant. And I say, shut up, it's for Russia. And I go in, I pin up her legs up to the wall. I clip her toes to a feet above the bed.
Oh my goodness.
And then I just shove it right in there and so, but
what's the point?
I simply have all of this gum I must get rid of.
I see.
Yeah, I mean, Ivanov really was obsessed with creating a human chimp hybrid.
And were they just getting the cum from random employees? Was it cum day?
He really did try to impregnate chimps with man cum and women with chimp cum multiple times in multiple locations.
Multiple different time zones, different temperatures.
Wow.
In addition, he also had the assistance of some of the most respected scientific organizations of the day. And while his motivations weren't about creating a race of workers and soldiers for the Soviet Union, his motivations were decidedly Soviet in certain ways. According to one read of the situation, Ivanov was trying to discredit religious belief in creationism.
Dude, this is the fucking, honestly, the most metal thing I've heard from a scientist, like, yeah. Like what he wanted to do. This is, I agree with this read.
Essentially, if Ivanov was able to crossbreed a chimp with a human, then he would have proved Darwin's theory of evolution, which would help the Soviet Union's quest to stamp out religion forever.
Seriously? His actual statement was, with this experiment, we can kill God.
And I was like, fuck yes!
Just one little violet sure chimp come. Bye-bye, Jesus! That's all it took!
Well, it doesn't seem like it didn't work. That's for sure. I also don't fully wouldn't, but I feel like it might make me believe in God more.
No. It's about this idea that, like, because they're all saying, you know, the core of that central belief is that human beings are a special, yes, celestial, handmade thing by God to be in their image and mm-hmm. whatever. Or this idea is that if we are enough genetically close to a chimp, it's just showing that, like, oh no, that we were just one of many races of standing ape that ascended to this level, that if we can crossbreed with other things that are close to us, that shows that there were probably many strains of humankind, which now we know from our archaeology that there were many different levels of humans, but sure, at the time they were trying to like prove it, but put the proof was in the pudding.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Do you think this is why Tom Cruise has his fish fetish? Perhaps
I think he has that fish fetish just to show that I think, again, it's about him being able to get hard for the fish, and that shows mastery of his body.
You know, I went into a YouTube hole of Tom Cruise, who I could see having an idea very similar to this. And I have to say, he does his own stunts.
He does.
And they're quite difficult.
So this is where you've landed on the Tom Cruise fish fucking scandal on the blind items, is that he's having sex with fish to prove that he has mastery over his own body. So he can get hard. If he can get hard for fish, then he can do anything.
He can do anything.
I mean, there's a certain truth to that.
I say that he can do anything possible. Like, that he shows it. He hung on the side of a plane.
It's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Rise from your grave.
A roast as dark as the night, perfect for fueling the cryptid research and mad ravings required for your podcasting. Don't mind the red eyes. He's just trying to warn you of the bridge.
The bridge.
Finally, from the caffeine-addled brains of Springheel Jack Coffee and Last Podcast on the Left, we bring you Mothman's Red Eye Blend. Yes, delicious Panama beans. Go to lastpodcastmerch.com to order yours today.
Well, let's get back to Ilya Ivanov.
Yes. Let's get back to some serious stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Some science.
Now, as far as who Ilya Ivanov really was, he was actually a master in the field of animal hybridization and artificial insemination.
Oh, yeah.
He was responsible for creating such hybrids as the guinea pig mouse and the zedonk, which was a hybrid of a zebra and a donkey. Or you could call it a z-donk.
Oh, sorry, z-donk? I'd say z-donk because it's zebra.
Yeah, instead of a zedonk.
Yeah. It's like, I've actually, Natalie and I had a big thing about whether or not it's human Z or human Z.
No, I would say it's a human Z. Well,
that's what she says, human Z.
I wouldn't end the marriage over it. I mean,
oh, no, we're to the tatters.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm sleeping in the car.
Well, by 1910, Ivanov had presented his idea of a human Z at the World Congress of Zoologists, which, considering his reputation and how much success he'd had with the Z-donk, this idea was met with a fair amount of curiosity and intrigue.
Do you not think that there was no crosstalk of people or just, like, anybody just being like, I think this guy just likes watching animals fuck each
other? Oh, they must, but I think they all liked it.
I guess so. Oh. But I don't think anybody's that charmed with the idea of a chimp making love to a human woman, but
the thing, Henry. They're all accepting that no one is making love to anybody else.
Well, that's even worse then.
Why? That sucks. That's taking the running out of it.
It's artificial insemination. That's what they're excited about, because that's science. It's dispassionate.
No, man,
it's a seeker.
No. That's ridiculous.
Science,
man,
is very passionate.
There's fucking, I know people that are in the sex work community, and it's dispassionate. They know for a fact that they can do it. They both have fun and don't have fun. They both, it is a job. So if you get a professional chimp porn actor with a professional woman sex worker.
But you did say make love, which has some emotion to it.
Because then make love,
that
It doesn't work in a lab.
Fuck.
It doesn't work in a lab.
I don't know. It's just a lot of crunchy khakis there in this zoology meeting. And I would like to know what zoologists talk about behind closed doors, because I bet you they still have conversations that can get a little icky.
They call us a bunch of cucks for zebras and giraffes. They're like, no one gives a fucking shit about a giraffe. Look at these guys out here watching like it's some kind of TV show, huh? This ain't Mass Singer.
Zebra cuck is zuck.
Remember, Ilya Ivanov was Russian. By 1917, the Russian Revolution had occurred. Ooh. So Ivanov needed a good angle to get funded, a good communist Soviet angle.
Yeah, he had to pitch it.
Yeah.
Hence, he approached the Soviet government with his Human-Z experiment as a way to validate Darwin's theory, thus striking a blow against organized religion.
A spirit of the heart of Christ.
Well,
and in my opinion, I think in reality, he really just wanted to fill chimps with mancom and women with chimpcom. Darwin be damned, but needs must when a man has a passion.
I do agree. I think this is an example of the scientist. This is the true example of fascinating. Like, it's just a man watching from the side. He just wants to see it happen.
Yeah, scientists gone wild here. Really some stuff happening.
Yeah, he's just trying to get his fucking idea off the ground, and he's selling it. Every scientist has to sell it to the fucking board.
And he's got my money. He's got my money. I want to see these fucking chimp babies.
Do they care what kind of cum it is? Anyone's cum will do? Or do they try to get the smartest of the smart cum?
They kept it just to apes, like chimps.
No, but I'm talking about
orangutans.
The human cum. When it comes to the
it was his.
Oh, it was his.
I am more than certain, because we know this for a fact, that in America, when there was a new documentary series that's about this, so that people going into, there was a whole
cum
time
harvesting.
Period where people were going into with fertility problems, and fertility doctors were using their own semen to inseminate these various women that had problems conceiving. So I cannot believe it would be anybody else besides like, hey, rigor. Have you jerked it today?
Did you jerk
no,
it?
No, no, yeah. Good. You haven't yet. Let's get your top cream.
Right.
Let's get the foot. I need greens, man. I need to get your fucking greens,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, have some pineapple there. All right. Kind of like Spider-Man. They can kind of web it out. Yeah, I mean, he's making his own.
I can't be that
science.
Wrong, right, Marcus?
It was probably like amongst the community. It was probably their own. Yeah.
I just would like to, it's kind of. Are you mandated? Like, is it like, oh, it's Monday. Oh, my damn to come.
Yeah, because they're not trying to raise these things to be college professors. Like, these are soldiers. These are workers. Like, they're not truly concerned with, you know, how much thought they can put into a dissertation.
Yeah.
Okay. And honestly, I'd use one professional golfer's cum.
Yeah.
I'd use a comedian's cum.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd use a president's cum.
Sure.
Okay, so as I said, Ivanov first tried to impregnate a chimp with human semen in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
As we mentioned, that failed. So he headed home to impregnate women with chimp semen.
Gotcha. Okay.
And surprisingly, five women actually volunteered for the program for reasons unknown, although we may put the word volunteer into quotes.
He was trying his best to, from what I was reading, is that he was trying his best to find a volunteer. He wanted someone to be willing to do it, because the way he pitched it is, again, we're at the forefront of scientific discovery. This is the most incredible chapter in humankind possible.
Will
you
Jurassic Park.
Be the mother to the future of humankind? And then they're all like, putting monkey comb up inside the motherfucking guts. And he's like, yes, now you understand.
My goodness. Okay.
But they did basically, I think, in the end,
they were kind of forced. Okay.
However, the apes that Ivanov had brought with him from their native land didn't do too well in Georgia, even though the climate is somewhat subtropical for Eastern Europe. All the apes soon died except one. And by the time the experiment was finally ready to go, only a 26-year-old orangutan named Tarzan was left. And he soon died of a brain hemorrhage.
Yeah, what is going on?
If you have to come enough for five separate pregnancy experiments,
my Lord. Tarzan.
You're going to pop a vessel.
I guess.
You know what I mean? Like, that's him every day being like, I can't come no more. Left in the chambers.
Also, 26, isn't that like super old?
Like, not really.
No,
for apes in captivity, it's about 10 years from death. Usually apes in captivity on average live around 30, 35 years.
He's probably over it. He doesn't want to come anymore. He's done. Yeah. He's like, I'm not a teenager anymore.
Yeah, it says 35 to 45 years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at one right now. They're so cute. Yeah,
ready to fuck.
No.
Look at his little eyes. Like, nobody fucks me, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, Ivanov tried putting in another order for apes. Mm. But before the apes arrived at the facility, Ivanov fell victim to the widespread purge of Soviet scientists and was exiled to Kazakhstan, where he did, in fact, die of a stroke. Uh-huh. Now, before we shame Ivanov too much as a mad scientist, it's important to know that he was not the only scientist who had this idea.
No, I actually don't know if he is a mad scientist. I could see him being immensely happy, just doing what he loves.
He's just truly, he's a pure scientist, I would say.
Yes.
Where he did not really care about the sociological implications of what he was doing. He was just happy to see. He didn't ask if, while we were asking if we could do it, we never asked if we should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the definition of that.
Yeah.
Well, when it was discovered that humans and chimps were far more similar genetically than we'd ever imagined, a German sexologist named Hermann Rohleder.
That just sounds like a fake thing you tell to a foreign person to have sex with them.
I always, whenever I think of a sexologist, I think of a Hermann.
He tried going through with the experiment of inseminating chimps with human sperm. His partner in this was a Dutch zoologist named another Hermann, Hermann Mones.
Hermann paging Mr. Mones. Paging Mr. Mones.
But while Rohleder remained a respected name in sexology after the experiment was rejected in the planning stages.
We have finally found the clit.
Oh, wow.
The Dutch zoologist was fired from his teaching position for even participating in the preliminary stages of such a wild experiment.
Well, honestly, I don't know if they need to be fired.
I agree, because a zoologist's job is not trying to keep it to the animals.
Okay. Keep it to the animals. So you think the bringing the people in, that's where he broke zoologist protocol.
It's good for the other guy. The sexologist should actually have a zoologist around to be like, hey, how can I make this ape harder,
right?
Like, what do apes like? You know what I mean? That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the zoologist shouldn't be there with the fucking goggles on, like testing out there, being get her, girl. Like, I think the sexologist is allowed to be a professional pervert.
I think they need someone around who's been like, what you guys doing there? Just like everyone needs a what you guys doing there guy. Because I'd be like, oh, you guys are fucking that. And then I would say, you tell me and say it out loud. Oh, I'm putting cum inside of this ape. Be like,
so you have to say it out loud.
You have to say it out loud and be like, does it sound like you're doing something good? What you guys doing there?
It's transhumanism.
Okay.
And it must be said that all of Ivanov's research was not met with applause at every corner, even in the Soviet Union. Mm. Apparently, the Soviets were fine with him filling chimps with human cum, but filling humans with chimp cum was a bridge too far.
Oh, whatever, man.
It might be a bridge too far.
But what really got Ivanov in hot water in the end was not scientific ethics, but scientific politics.
Yeah, man.
Mm. See,
Ivanov, with the president, Stalin wanted it to be his cum.
Yeah. So I know this isn't a Gold Star episode. Maybe it's like a Milky Star episode.
This is a Milky Way episode.
It's just there's a lot of cum here.
Oh, yes. Wow. This is what we warned the audience.
Okay. And I'm not done yet.
No. Right. Oh, no.
See, Ivanov had gotten swept up in the eugenics conversation, although it was argued that his area of research was in so-called positive eugenics.
Oh, I love that spin.
Well, that's when parents with good, quote unquote, good genetics are encouraged to have more children, and that's the end of it.
Sure.
But as we know, eugenics by its very nature cannot be positive. Mm-mm. If you are encouraging so-called good genetics, then by definition, you are discouraging so-called bad genetics, which is a conversation that ends at the most innocent side, forced sterilization, and at the worst, complete genocide.
Yeah.
It also doesn't work. I've seen beautiful parents with some of the ugliest, dumpiest kids.
Oh yeah, and most successful parents then have a child that is then completely, woefully unable to be singularly successful in society. Yes, and then they become monsters. But if you do want to see quote unquote bad genetics just on fire, and you just take a trip down to Disney World, and you just take a look at that experiment, is well and good.
You have a vengeance now against Disney World.
It ruined my experience of Disney World, and we will never go back.
Isn't that too bad?
Very good. Well, since eugenics was a central tenet of Nazism and therefore fascism, which is an absolute enemy of Soviet Russia and communism, Ivanov was seen as a community of eugenic scientists that needed to be purged from Soviet Russia.
Well, this is where he also got trapped up, and maybe the how propaganda from other places will fuck with you within your own home, because this was this idea of what I kind of hinted at before, which is they thought that they could re-engineer the perfect proletariat, like this idea that was attached to him that may or may have never have come from inside his community. But it was that idea of like, what we'll do is seed the world with this DNA and do more, have more and more half monkey, half people that will then fuck other people. And then like more and more thin out the human DNA into chimp, perfectly controllable chimpanzee.
Yeah, well, that'll be a fun conversation to have with the folks.
Yes.
You're getting married there.
Well, Ivanov was actually one of the lucky ones, because many of Ivanov's contemporaries were simply shot instead of being exiled to Kazakhstan to die freezing on a railway platform.
So that's, that's the
like
positive.
Like a fucking stray dog.
Shoot me. You know what I mean? Just shoot me in the head.
Yeah.
But while Soviet Russia abandoned their plans for a humanzee, there were reports that China actually attempted a human-chimpanzee crossbreeding program in 1967.
Okay.
Allegedly, the head of a Chinese hospital claimed that a chimpanzee female had been impregnated with human sperm.
Ooh. Have we thought about like that? Have we thought like, what about the infant then?
Oh yeah, man. There's a lot of thought about it.
That would be kind
of
weird if you were like, my birth mother is a chimpanzee.
You know, you keep it alive for the 7 days that it will live, and then you throw it in the garbage.
Huh? Oh. Is that science? Yes. That's science?
That is science.
This is, yeah, this is, well, this is aborted science.
Oh.
According to this hospital official's account, the experiment was cut short by China's Cultural Revolution.
Very scary.
And the scientists responsible for impregnating the chimp were sent to a farm labor camp for re-education,
which meant
they were probably fucking killed.
Yep.
And the chimp, 3 months pregnant, died of neglect.
Probably best. I mean, probably best, because I just don't think at this time period, I think especially after the Cultural Revolution, I don't know if we were ready raise the humanzee.
The culture before was all for it. And then they were like, let's not be for it.
Well, they weren't given a choice.
Hmm.
Yeah.
They weren't given a choice.
No. But while a humanzee was never successfully created in a laboratory,
we don't know. We don't know.
I've seen Hellboy.
Allegedly.
Because there was another, I know, because what was his name?
Gordon Gecko.
There was another.
Gordon Ramsay.
No.
What Gordon?
Gordon Gallup.
Gordon
There was another scientist who believed that we did create a human Z in a lab. And again, it lived for 7 days and then it died on its own.
I mean, what a horrible life.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was alive for a second, but I imagine those 7 days must have been trippy as fuck.
Oh my.
But I don't know if it happened.
I don't know.
Yeah. But while a humanzee was never officially successfully created in a laboratory, it was suspected that a humanzee had somehow been created in the wild.
Yeah, dude. Fucking Noah's lab, dude.
Yep. Well, all
that's what the Ark was, man. It was a fucking transhumanism lab, bro.
It's a fuckboat, huh?
Yeah, that's why I'm going to name my new program Noah's Ark.
That's fantastic.
It's every type of chick with vials of my penis, my semen. That's Epstein. I'm sorry. That's all Jeffrey
Epstein. I'm so excited for your, it's international waters face.
Well, to wit, a performing chimpanzee named Oliver, captured in the Congo, was believed to be a humanzee bred in the wild.
Oh, yeah, man. Missing link, dog.
Well, they shouldn't have given it that nerdy name. He's going to be made fun of in school.
No, man. Mm-hmm. He was huge, dude.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, admittedly, Oliver did appear to look more human than most chimpanzees.
He did.
He had a flatter face. Mm-hmm. He walked bipedally instead of on his knuckles.
Like a dude.
Or bipedally.
Does. Like a fucking bro does.
He's a dude.
Like my fucking bro.
He's a dude.
And he reportedly preferred human females to chimp females.
Who wouldn't?
Just be very careful. Who because wouldn't? That's dangerous.
And sometimes, you know how it is being super tall. Sometimes girls will just give you a shot.
I mean, you know I mean? Don't know, but
they see this new dude, this new type of guy.
This cool guy.
Yeah, you don't know, mm-hmm. man.
Does he skateboard and stuff?
He can't talk.
Okay.
He'll rip your tits off.
According to one of Oliver's owners, a woman named Janet Berger, Oliver became attracted to her when he turned 16.
Not good.
Which prompted her and her husband to sell the horny ape to a New York attorney.
I know what to do with this horny ape.
Yes,
I know
indeed.
What to do with him. I'm going to take him to law school.
Absolutely. A regular old Giuliani there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to clean out the neighborhoods.
Yeah. So, I mean, she must have completed the circuit.
You're right? Blaming because this on her.
I'm not.
You're blaming this on her. Saying, you're fucking disgusting.
She's an animal. He's
you're
an,
disgusting.
It's an animal. So it's like, I think he really likes to
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, because
he like,
was grabbing
no, but,
their tits and it had yeah, but, a fucking big hard cock on him. Because he was getting an erection.
I don't, okay.
Yeah, he's not flirting with him. He's not flirting
it's
with her, dude.
It's not coy looks like, across yeah, the dance floor.
It's, okay. it's very, it's a, he's still a very aggressive animal that is like actively trying to have sex with her. That's treating this woman like she is another chimp.
I see.
Like, it's huh. He's not writing her fucking love notes.
Yeah, man.
They're not writing love notes.
They're not going no. to the in and out.
Oh.
No, it's not a sharing a fucking malted, a chocolate malted at the fucking malt
just sucking
shop.
On straws together.
Yeah, sucking on straws. Some fucking spaghetti in a back alley is a great.
This is something the way that you fling your dookie. You fling your dookie. It's so funny. What a date.
Oh, man.
Scientific well, episode.
Yeah, there's a lot of research in this.
So much research, yeah.
Well, the attorney who bought... Just,
I love Oliver.
I can't. All right. 16-year-old horny ass ape. Kind of living the dream here.
Oh, man.
The giggles.
No. Oh, man. Okay. Well, the attorney who bought Oliver was...
He got him. He killed him.
He killed him
with our act out. It's the date. It's just this big, huge, erect animal. And this tiny woman.
Wow.
Oh, God,
I never know what's going to happen.
I'm really sorry, guys. Yeah, well, I've been under fucking COVID pressure for a week. It's like starting to lift off now.
Oh,
no,
nice.
Yeah, no, that's it's great. Nice. You're like, I talked to you yesterday, and you're relax. Like,
you're the first person I've talked to in 7 days.
Just so happy the entire time you were researching this.
I mean, honestly, at least this is, it's not MK Ultra.
No, it's not.
Well, the attorney who bought Oliver was Michael Miller, who met with Oliver after reading about him in the newspaper.
Huh.
He paid $8,000 for Oliver the chimp.
Okay.
And exhibited him at various events like the Explorers Club Banquet.
Just because he was horny. That was it? It was like this.
Well, he had to get rid of him. They had to get rid of him and they're looking at this thing.
No, but I'm saying the attorney, he's just like the fact that it was such a horny ape. That's what.
It's a sideshow. It's not just he's a horny ape. Yeah. He also like he looks like a dude and
got
walks
you.
Around like a dude.
No, okay. It's
you put a little suit on him. You give him a cigar and you got a show.
I'd go see that show now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You remember when we played that that fucking theater in Oakland and there was that monkey who sold out an entire week
was it
at
Esther
that theater?
Or something like
Yeah. It just would do it would just like he'd play the piano and the other it was awesome. It's a great show.
And it was just a tiny spider monkey. Yeah. I mean, imagine you got a chimp that looks like a dude.
Yeah. Huge cock.
Yeah. Apparently.
The next year, Michael Miller flew Oliver to Japan to appear on TV, followed by a 3-week tour of the country, exhibiting behavior close to human. Look at the monkey. Isn't he great?
Okay.
After that, Oliver bounced around various owners and even spent time in a small cage at a research facility.
Yeah,
but thankfully, Oliver ended up at a sanctuary called Primarily Primates, where he died at the age of 55,
whoa!
20 years longer than most apes in captivity, and he died right next to his loving chimp girlfriend, named Raisin.
Raisin. Oh, they found Raisin. Each other in fucking, at the very end, in his retirement community. Primarily Primates was one of the first ever reserves for former performing apes to go live at to end of their life, like around a fucking tree. But he was 7 years in that research facility.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they didn't know what to do. In a tiny little cage.
Oh, and it's interesting, too, for something that really was like, because they don't know what the hell he was. They don't know what the hell he was. We'll get into more details about it. But like, if something was so close to human, and it was, and it really was, like he did kind of exhibit like that thing, that weird uncanny valley thing that some chimps, a certain like high performative apes do, where they are a lot like us. They experience empathy. Well,
there's
they experience
a reason we don't
jealousy.
Eat them, I think.
Yeah, I mean, because they don't taste good.
You think that's the reason?
Yeah.
Maybe because it's so. It's
no, no, we should have killed him out a long time ago. They're our only competition besides the octopus.
Absolutely not. And the octopi, very, very successful. I don't know if they should be farmed, though.
Well,
no. You know. No, they shouldn't be. No.
Too smart.
Live from your grave.
Hey, what's up, everyone? How you doing? Ben Kissel here with Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, it's me, man.
Yeah, bro. Henry Zebrowski is smoking some of that sweet last podcast on the left, babe. Go out there and purchase yourself some. I hope you enjoy it. We have sativa, we have indica, and we have a hybrid. And I have to tell you, from my personal experience, they are wonderful.
Super tasty live resin. You really get the delicious, weedy taste, which is what I like. And three different experiences. You go to your local vape store and get it.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much for supporting the show. We absolutely love you. Can't wait to see you on the road and get that vape, put it in your brain, and have a good time.
And if you want us at your favorite weed store, give them a call and ask for them by name. Absolutely. Last podcast on the left, it's weed.
Hail yourselves, everyone.
Hail Satan.
Now, it's all well and good to just say that a chimpanzee is more human
more
than
human
most.
Than human.
Because it's adept at imitating human behavior, it looks more human than most other apes, and it's obviously attracted to human females. But that's not scientific proof.
Mm.
The scientific proof for dubbing Oliver an official humanzee was all in the chromosomes.
It always is. Look at Chet Hanks.
Yeah.
Well, nothing could save him.
Speaking
nothing
of
could save
two
him.
Rita Wilson and Tom Hanks, beautiful people, both physically and internally. Chet.
Yep.
Yeah. But
even
also,
Tom Hanks.
Colin.
Exactly.
Very,
one sleepy cum,
man.
One alert cum. That's all it takes.
Well, humans have 46 chromosomes while chimps have 48. So logically, a human Z should have 47.
Oh.
Right down the middle. Split the difference. But when Oliver was finally tested, it was found that he did indeed have 48.
In the pudding! It's in the pudding!
Yeah. So in the end, while Oliver did look and act more human, and he did have a predilection towards human women, he was still a chimp. An odd chimp, to be sure. A special chimp. But a chimp, nonetheless.
They think he might have been a crossbreed between a gorilla and another, like, type of chimpanzee. They think it might have been that. There is also a real, there is a case to be made that something like him could have been the thing that led to humankind. The idea that they
the
are
missing link.
It just showed these little bridge steps that, you know, these qualities pop up. And eventually, if that thing and there was another humanzee-style thing and they fucked, they make something that was even closer to a person. And other things, they all fucked and they make even something closer to a person. That's how we get Kissel.
Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
Me, I was genetically engineered by Polish scientists.
Oh, yeah, I could see you in a lab there.
Yes.
Well, while it's been proved again and again that humanzees don't exist in the real world.
Not yet!
Not yet.
Not yet.
That hasn't stopped science fiction writers from exploring the idea that humanzees may one day populate the Earth.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Wow.
Let them take the fucking wheel, man.
Absolutely.
Specifically, a 2000 science fiction novel by F. Paul Wilson called Sims explores just such a notion.
I imagine that they must have, in some way, shape, or form, cleared the word Sims. Or this was self-published.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yes.
I believe if this is 2000, this was right around the time that the game The Sims came out. I think that came out first in maybe 1999, 2001.
Well,
that
maybe doesn't matter because the copyright on chimp fucking. It's very different.
It's different.
It's different.
It is different. But it did win the Libertarian Science Fiction Award. So when it comes down to it, it really is a.
Yeah.
It was operating on its own prison. Right, its own principles.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, in the book, humans use gene therapy to cure most deadly diseases. And apparently, their first idea after curing all diseases is to create a slave race of part chimpanzee, part humans that they call Sims.
Helper race.
I just feel like they're greatly missing automation and robots and stuff.
Oh, no, it'll get there.
Okay.
Well, as far as plot goes, the Sims have been a part of society for a while, but are beginning to realize their plight. And it all begins with a group of humanzee golf caddies who decide that they want to unionize.
And the real villain of the story here is, of course, the unions.
Oh, my goodness.
That is what they're really upset right. about.
Yeah, best libertarian science fiction story of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
But really, the author's note at the beginning of the novel says it all. Henry, if you would.
Sims takes place just around the corner, time-wise, in your town, your country, your world.
Uh-huh.
It may seem like science fiction, but it isn't. For right now, as you read these words, someone, somewhere, is altering a chimpanzee's genome to make it more human.
This is David Mamet's new book?
Right now. So it won't be too long before we all come face to face with the same issues, challenging characters, and Sims.
So this is what you're wasting your time writing, huh?
Well, I mean, that's really all about... Wow, you really toned that down quite a bit. You switched the tone on that. Because I imagined it to be very, like, much more like a Rod Serling.
Oh, yeah.
Sims takes place just around the corner. Time-wise in your town, your country, your world.
Yeah. The former was more accurate.
Yeah. For right now, as you read these words, someone somewhere is altering a chimpanzee's genome to make it more human.
Right now.
It's not a baseball announcer. I mean, sound like Bob Uecker.
It's urgency to it.
I see.
But humanzees, of course, that's just the biology side of things when it comes to transhumanism.
Yes.
There's also the technological side, which, you may not be surprised, has been twisted by certain conspiracy theorists as a possible path to a dystopian future for us all.
We will definitely need to do a chapter 2 of transhumanism to really get into the details of where all of this goes from. Because much like the beginning, humble beginnings of transhumanism with monkey cum, there is an actual, like, normal idea of this concept of we will join ourselves with robotic technology. We
Absolutely.
Will join with technology and we will move on. Ray Kurzweil, who is the guy that created the idea of the singularity, this idea that he believes by 2049, there will be an AI that will actually be able to function like a human mind. And we will use that to travel into space. But it mostly seems that what Ray Kurzweil has mastered is the power of hair technology, because he went from bald to the most free-flowing, beautiful Kyle MacLachlan pompadour that I have ever seen that really shows the power of the future.
Absolutely.
Well, one of the leading paranoiacs in this field, the field that transhumanism is a dystopian reality.
Oh my God.
Is a woman named Elana Freeland. She's written a trilogy of books on the subject that ended with a book called Geoengineered Transhumanism: How the Environment Has Been Weaponized by Chemicals, Electromagnetism, and Nanotechnology for Synthetic Biology.
That is the entire title.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Oh, no,
have to write that entire title on all kind of all here's all the other memos. Books.
This is the other two books in that trilogy. Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. Chemtrails, HARP, and the Full Spectrum Dominance of Planet Earth. Because that's what she's focused on, this idea of the full spectrum dominance of planet Earth.
Yeah. All right. Her general idea is that for decades, the government has been controlling the ionosphere with phased array heater blasts.
Space fence!
To maintain an ionized atmosphere. I'm taking this slow.
Power
so everyone...
the world like an antenna.
Like an antenna. Yeah.
An ionized atmosphere in which chemicals, nanotechnology, and symbiosynergies are continuously laid by jets, drones, and rockets in the name of so-called climate change.
Seeding the clouds with nanomachines to make them brighter so they reflect more light.
Okay.
And that thing is, but guess where it goes, man?
Where?
You think it stays in the fucking clouds, you
no
fucking
idea.
Asshole?
I have no idea.
No, man. Drifts down to your little precious pink lungs.
I just, mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, basically, this is a chemtrail conspiracy in which the air we breathe, the soil we grow in our food, and the water we drink have all been commandeered as an advance team by biotech and big pharma for what Ilana Freeland calls human 2.0 transhumanism.
She might be onto something. Monsanto, don't even get me going.
I mean, she's really,
but
she's not onto anything.
No,
she's
okay.
No. She is a very sad woman.
Thing.
She's a very, very sad, sad broken
she
woman.
She doesn't seem sad. She has all these ideas.
I've listened to hours of her speak. She is very upset.
Aww.
Yeah, she's busy.
She's busy. But,
well, combined with what else but vaccinations?
Well, you mean, Marcus, the Wuhan incident.
Uh-huh. Very intriguing.
This because it's not just the COVID vaccination. This stuff goes back years and years.
This goes back to the 6th century.
Wow.
This is what she says. It goes back to the 6th century when they invented basically how plagues were always invented by warfare. It's all biological warfare.
Biological warfare.
Yeah, and it was all been, and they use the same story we talked about in the Black Plague series as the invention of plagues in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But combined with what else but vaccinations, all of this is in preparation for the software phase of the brain-computer interface, or BCI, which is about to go into effect after decades of quiet war preparation. And all of this is somehow controlled by something called a space fence.
Space fence!
All right, hold on now. Is she in any way anti-Semitic?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Fantastic. So then I'm going to say this. She might be onto something. She might be onto something.
No.
I don't know. No.
No.
Well, she says there is
no,
the
she's
word,
not.
The word elite is thrown around quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
And there's that. I have not gotten to the Rothschild chapter
yet. Let me
yet.
Know when you do.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to get anti-Semitic at some point.
It will,
always
but it's not
does.
Yet. Well, it's definitely anti-Chinese and it's anti-humans. It's anti-herself.
Well, then I'm not for it.
Yep.
She's very upset all the time, very sad, and very afraid of everything.
Now,
she's,
how could she be upset with a YouTube channel, though? She has a YouTube channel, so isn't
that
exciting?
She doesn't have a YouTube channel because she doesn't have any form of technology in her home. She must be, she does everything. I don't know how she's,
what, how
she
the
must
fuck
have
does that work? I've seen her do on-camera interviews for other YouTube channels. She has about 40 listed.
She's got like a secret TV in the closet. You know
who
that.
Who put together her PDF of recoveries and remedies that tell us that Wi-Fi and 5G are breaking down the cells and chemicals in our body?
Well, it's because the Wuhan incident is they wired all of Wuhan with 5G and then released COVID, released COVID-19, right? Which is the receptor. What you have to do is, what she says here, it's ordo sub aurea, which is the concept of creating chaos in order to control the solution, right? Because in the vaccines,
broad
put
stroke.
Graphite in your blood that the 5G can use to track you. Even though you already got a phone, it doesn't really matter. No, it's to track you, bro. Because what it is a sleeper cell inside your body. So when they finally will get to 6G, that's G. They are going to go in there and they are going to be able to zap into your blood and then turn you into a robot from the inside out.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And that's about as much as my COVID brain could handle with this. For more on space fences and in chemtrail transhumanism, Henry, please, turning it over to you.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do here. Because there's not a lot of, it's not going to say there's not a lot of things that make sense. I'm just going to read you a little bit of what she talks about. Now, Ilana Freeland is a very sad person who seems very, very upset. And her idea is essentially, it starts with chemtrails, which is that they have been seeding our environment. Mm-hmm. With these various elements that are going to slowly but surely replace all of our molecules in our body with machine particles. The nanoparticles.
Sounds like Richard Chase.
It does begin to sound insane. Yeah.
It's a different kind of paranoia. It's strange because it's a very controlled paranoia.
Deeply.
And it's not as like manic as Richard Chase's, but it's like, if you read her, that PDF of recoveries and remedies, like she believes in every single conspiracy theory that exists.
It's exhausting.
And it seems absolutely exhausting. Absolutely.
It sounds like it's a very difficult life because she believes that.
And she believes in gang stalking as well. Like,
very.
It's
absolutely. Morgellons. Yeah. Don't even. You ever read anything into Morgellons disease?
Is that the Morgellons and the heavy metals and all that shit?
Yes. And that they, from chemtrails, that these things work your way into your skin. It's this weird fibrous thing. She says Morgellons is a sign that you have been chosen by the U.S. government as a trace agent. Like, it shows that you get
cool
these things.
Is that
bad? I don't think you get any benefits. I don't think you get to go to Quantico and, like, go ride the horses.
Yeah, you don't get to stop paying taxes. Like,
no, okay. Yeah. If only. That's, you know how you stop paying taxes? You just stop paying taxes.
Yeah,
that's what they learned.
Yeah.
But she
or become
this,
a priest.
Or become a priest. Oh, man, I'm so upset. So, I just, sorry, we just paid taxes. So
you can
I'm
still do it one day.
But, so her main thrust is that we are trapped in the agenda of an occult military industrial complex that believes that we have to gain mastery for the, she calls, full spectrum dominance of the planet Earth in order to spread across the galaxies. So it's the idea that we need to turn the planet Earth into entirely the technological being, that we are all networked together, made out of nanomachines, and that we will spread out amongst the stars. Because it's about this idea of, like, human beings need to evolve into this thing. In order to do it, you have to gain total control using things like HARP, chemtrails. You slowly seed the world with these nanomachines that will slowly replace us piece by piece by piece.
Okay.
What the space fence is, was the space fence was talked about in 2017. It was under the Donald Trump administration, where it was this idea to combat global warming, where it's in order to, because that's where it comes from, is that global warming is, of course, not created by pollution. You have to be such a fucking asshole to even think that.
Well,
I
think that.
But in order to never fuck with the corporation's bottom line in any way, shape, or form,
sure, that's true.
What they have figured out is the way to maybe acknowledge climate change but not acknowledge global warming. Like, what we'll do is we'll create what they call a space fence, is that we will go up in space and we will drop essentially like nanoparticles, like shiny things, like little tiny microscopic mirrors.
Okay.
This is a very stupid explanation. SideStoriesLPOTL@gmail.com to help me actually explain it true. But the idea is that these particles will create a cloud around the planet Earth that will reflect the sun away from us. And what she's saying that is one of these programs, is an insidious program that allows these machines to then drop down into our world and then get into our lungs, so slowly but surely we can be replaced into robot material. Now, because she calls
I don't know if we're quite there yet.
Oh, I don't think how far. No. Kissel, they invent the weather. The U.S. government has total control over the weather. They have terraformed everything. She says she's been watching the California wildfires for the last 4 years. You can't fuck with her. She's been researching on YouTube for 3 years.
Yeah, sure.
Three years, dude. She's been watching YouTube for 3 years.
Well, the military industrial complex
hasn't gone to a fucking library one time, but she's been watching YouTube for 3 years.
That's where the nanomachines are. If you look at her book, she had the very end of
Henry, I thought she didn't have any technology in her home.
I think her computer is made of wood. If you look at the page count, at the page count right there. Do you see how many pages Geoengineer Transhuman has?
834.
834 pages of this book, Geoengineered Transhumanism. And this is what she says is the final rollout, right?
Okay.
So the idea is that they are going to completely geoengineer the entire planet and get total control over it.
Okay.
And that we are a part of that. And this is one sentence from this book.
Okay.
The transhumanist Trojan horse. We enter the decidedly occult precincts of eugenics-minded global elite bloodlines and secret societies that have sought for millennia the technology by which to turn the human masses into synthetic biology, golems, or homunculi. From the magic human head, brain, and second brain to the genetics of the recently bold COVID-19 occult assault on the human genome, the intent being to replace the natural human body and brain protein carbon with a nanoparticle silicon polymer graphene-based hydrogel brain-computer interface. That's BCI, for total artificial intelligence, AI, cloud domination over any and all future attempts to individually develop or fine-tune free will. Because
if you tell me if she's in a sundress with big boobs that you wouldn't sit there and listen to her talk.
Oh, of course. Of course.
I mean, that's the first date material right
Absolutely.
There.
Because the whole point is that she acknowledges the mystical property of free will. That the one thing that they don't want to talk about, if you read the Kabbalah and everything is mental, the universe is mental. This idea that we know in our heart of hearts that we generate reality with our own specific brain with our brains, right?
Right.
With our free will or observation of the of society, what it does is that we can change, according to this and also mystical thinking, that you can change the world simply by thinking about it and
changing your behavior.
Sure, absolutely. Sure. And she says that that's the reason why they have to fully mechanize us, so they can take away the property of free will, so that we will become one roving force headed towards the stars.
The metaverse.
Nobody, yes, the metaverse, though nobody did the fighting against it, right?
Huh.
I know, it's starting to make sense to you.
She's got a lot of thoughts, that's for sure.
Yes.
And that's what we got. That's what we got.
Wow. But also, because remember, it's not called half-scale dominance. Of the fucking planet Earth.
Full scale.
Because the U.S. government can do shit. They can make their own Birkeland currents.
They
can make their own toroidal forms.
You can't even.
What are these words? She says stuff in here that is wild, dog. And I paid for this book.
Wow.
I gave
How much
her fucking
was it?
Money. It was $15. I gave her my money and I read as much as I could. If you look at it, because she even just talks about just how insidious this is. Across and above America. Pulse signals streak to and fro. Power lines glow. Huh. Toaster ovens and electric lights and hair and clothes dryers emanate, exude, lead. Cell phone, laptop, and wireless frequencies pulse billions of times per second at low power. Human and animal bodies and brains attempt to pulse at their ancient, natural frequencies. But radiation drowns out the Schumann life cycle of 7.83 hertz.
Oh.
Neural conditions like ametrophic literal scoliosis, ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease are on the increase. All right. Along
That's
with
horrible.
Breast and testicular cancer. You're saying this all because of the phones, dude. And we're helping the breakaway civilization. And
all
I am no longer able to go out to dinner tonight. Okay, because of what has happened here.
Well, I think that's fantastic. All right, a little introduction to transhumanism.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is my research into Morgellons. It just popped up on my...
absolutely. A lot of disease pictures there. Very fun there on Henry's laptop.
But that's just the beginning of it. I mean, obviously, I think that when we really do, we'll do a chapter two, because what we really need to talk about is fucking biohacks.
Right.
We need to talk about fucking... we need to talk about biohacks. We need to talk about... because those guys who put chips and magnets in their fingers, we'll get deeper into Ray Kurzweil.
Sure.
With all that's fucking about.
Well, that'll be really exciting. Okay, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening.
Are you excited?
We have.
There's a lot of material to cover
check
here.
Check out the comic
This is fucking huge.
Soul Plumber. Also, check
Soul
out.
Soul Plumber is over. It's been
not
out.
Over.
I actually saw.
It's there forever.
It's out.
I saw an issue on eBay. For $35.
There you go.
$35. So, wow. Yeah,
don't buy it there, though. I have a pile of them in my house.
Keep on supporting.
If you can find me and I have them on me, I'll just give them to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to buy my own at the comic book store.
Why did you have to buy your own?
Never got shipment. Any.
You never got any of them?
I never got any.
I got piles
I had to
of
buy
them.
My own.
I just piles
I
of
bought I bought mine at Action City Comics here in Brooklyn.
We run like a well-oiled machine.
Absolutely perfect. Thank you all so much for supporting the shows on the network. And anything else? We're gonna be on the road, so you know where to find us there. And all right, everyone.
Do you? Where are we? We're in Buffalo next week.
Buffalo,
where we are
Pittsburgh
in...
and
Northfield.
Northfield's gonna be great.
It better
I
be.
I actually got a bunch of people from or the surrounding area.
Mm-hmm.
Northfield is another casino gig, so that'll be fun when we stare at people who have no idea who we are or why we're there.
I want to shout out to the at Foxwoods when I was walking into the elevator, a lovely woman, she was going in the elevator and she's like, we're coming to see y'all tonight. Aww. I'm so excited. We're here for my girlfriend's birthday. And I looked down and she was holding two full buckets of fireball shots.
Woo!
And I was like, I wonder if you made it to the show, ma'am. And I hope that you did. I hope that
for
you made it and
reason,
you enjoyed it.
Casinos and Fireball. Casinos and people who love Fireball go together.
That has graphite in it.
It might.
Yeah. Well, it's all a bunch of bad decisions mixed together.
I love casinos, man.
Yeah.
But next week, we shall be, as we originally scheduled, we will be hitting the high seas.
We're
very, very excited, and we'll be very good. And then we will come back. I feel like we should just turn back around and just do transhumanism, too.
We can see.
And do the next level of all the technology shit, because there's so much more to cover.
Let's see what the reaction to this one is. Okay, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hail yourselves!
Hail Satan!
Yogin.
Magoostalations, everybody.
Hail me. And that shows, man, Marcus is sick as a fucking dog. You still pumped out a 6-page script. What do these other people have any fucking excuses for, man?
Well, no, fucking no. I've also been doing it for 12 fucking years. So,
yes, my boy. It's my fucking boy. My fucking doldrum.
It's my fucking job, bro.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking show up for my job.
And them fingers, man, during a fucking COVID, dude. Yeah. No, now he's fine.
No, he looks great.
We would not make him do the show if he was, like, dying.
No, I mean, no.
I didn't do it last week.
No, yeah, last week we got the, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My teeth are getting yellower.
All right, guys.
I don't know.
It's the lighting. It might be the lighting.
It has to be the lighting. Yeah, my teeth seem to be getting a lot yellower.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Quit all smoking and all that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's like I lost weight and I look worse.
I actually drink less coffee now. I do. I drink like espresso.
Well,
just a little bit of it.
Oh, well, what are you going to do?
What do you know? I refuse to get them whitened. Goodbye.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.